Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Okay, we're jumping into the middle of John chapter 7 to verse 25. Let me remind you what has occurred. Jesus has gone to Jerusalem, and when he gets there, he goes into the temple and he teaches. Now, of course, there are some Jewish leaders that are trying to get him in a position where they can kill him. That's what they're wanting to do. And so keep that in mind as we look at verse 25 of John chapter 7. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill?" Speaking of Jesus. "But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" Now, these are some powerful words. There are some people believe that these words were spoken in sarcasm, and they could have been. But I believe these words are being spoken by the common people. And, you know, many of the common people did believe that he was the promised Messiah. And they were surprised at how boldly he was speaking in the temple, and wondered, if they're trying to kill him, why haven't they done it? Well, I would have wondered the same thing. They go on to say, "Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" Well, that leads you to believe that some of these common people did believe. What they're doing, they're saying, "Don't they know this is definitely the Christ, that the Anointed One of God that the Old Testament talked about, the prophets, that he has now come?" All right, let's go to verse 27. "Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Now, they add this, and I don't know who says this, it doesn't tell us. They say, "Howbeit, we know who this man is. We know this man. We know all about him." I think they're implying that they know his family, that they know he lives in Nazareth and raised there, and they know maybe about his brothers, or maybe even his mother, maybe even Joseph. But they're just saying, verse 27, "Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." In other words, they were under the impression that when Christ comes, he would come in a mystical way. You know, like he might ride from heaven on a white horse. Now, the interesting thing is, one day he will do that. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 on to the end of the chapter. But when he came the first time, that's when he'll come the second time. But when he came the first time, he came as a baby in a manger, laid in a manger. So they kind of added a mystical aspect to the first coming of Christ, and saying that if he really was Christ, he would have, stood out. But we know this man. He didn't stand out. He's just one of us. Verse 28. "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught," which makes you think that he evidently lifted up his voice. He cried. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, "Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins." Well, that's evidently what he was doing. "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Well, you can't make it any more clear than that. Jesus is saying to them, look, yes, I know you know me. I understand that. But I want you to know that I'm not coming because I want to make a big impression, but I have been sent here. And I've been sent by God the Father, but you don't know him. That's why Jesus says, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, verse 29, and he hath sent me. So he says, number one, I know him. He is saying, in essence, to the Jews, you know about him, I know him. And then, excuse me, he says, but I know him, for I am from him. In other words, I've been with him. Now, the implication there is that Jesus is deity, that he came from God, and he knows God in a personal way, and no one could do that except he be God. And he says, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. So Jesus, in a sense, is declaring his deity here, and evidently it didn't go over too well. Verse 30, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Now the question is, if they were seeking to take Jesus because of what he just said, that I've been with God and he has sent me, if they were trying to take him, why couldn't they do it? That's the question. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. What kept them from it? Well, the only logical answer that I have is God divinely protected his son. They sought to have him arrested. Of course, his time had not yet come, he says here, because his hour has not yet come, or John says that. And that's why they could not take him. Now, later on, they would, of course, take him, arrest him, and falsely accuse him, and he'd be crucified. But God divinely protected him at this time. Verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? In other words, the common people said, can somebody do more miracles than this man? He must be the Messiah. Verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priest sent officers to take him. Again, this is the religious establishment of Jerusalem. The Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders, they don't want Jesus to live. They want to take him and do away with him. Verse 33, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. So here Jesus is once again implying the supernatural sending of the Son into the world. He says, and then he says, he has sent me, then I will go to him. Ye seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. Of course, he's referring to the fact that day is coming whenever he will be crucified and then he will be raised from the grave and then he will ascend into heaven. But he's saying, you can't follow me. You can't go where I'm going. Well, let's see how this goes over. Then said the Jews among themselves, verse 35, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? What's he talking about? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What are they saying there? They're saying, well, is he going to go to the Gentile nations and the people? And he mentions here the dispersed, maybe even referring to those that had been the Jews that had been dispersed among the nations? Is he going to them and to the Gentiles and teach them like he's been teaching us? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? What is he talking about? That's what the Jewish leaders are saying here. Well, what's he talking about? He's going to leave, and we can't go where he's going, and all of this. Of course, as I said, he was referring to the day when he would return to the Father. And the interesting thing is they're accusing him here. They're saying, will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? And the truth is, he would go. And how can I say this? In the person of the apostles, when they, the Holy Spirit went with them to the Gentiles and preached the gospel, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentile nations as well. God, the Holy Spirit, would go with the apostles. So basically, the irony here is that the apostles later on would go to the Gentiles and preach what Jesus told them to preach. Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Well, we're still talking about the Feast of the Tabernacles, and this was the great day of the feast. The Feast of the Tabernacles lasted 8 days, and this evidently was the eighth and final day. And Jesus says, if you're thirsty, if any man thirst. Now, he's not talking about H2O. He's talking about thirsting for righteousness. The Bible says if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we'll be filled. That's what Jesus said. So he is preaching here to the people and telling them if they thirst to come to him. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, here Jesus is basically saying that he is fulfilling what the Old Testament prophets have said about him. And, of course, there's many types of Jesus being the one that could give the living water to them. And he said, I'm the living water. He told the woman at the well that, you know, that he was. And of course, when you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find out that Jesus is depicted as water in the Old Testament on the Exodus when Moses smote the rock in Exodus 17:6. It brought forth water. And then you find other examples of Jesus in the Old Testament depicted as the rock or as water. As a branch, you find him depicted in many ways in the Old Testament. So basically Jesus is saying, from me, out of me, will come this living water. He is speaking in a spiritual way. He's not talking about literal, as I said, H2O. He's talking about out of me will come the true water of life, the true source of all life. He's speaking spiritually and not physically here. And we know that because verse 39 makes it plain. But this he spake of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, please understand that John the Apostle is writing the book of John that we're studying. He's writing this after Pentecost. He's writing this after the Holy Ghost has come, and so that's why he can say here, but this he spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, they would in the future, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So John was writing this after Jesus had died, risen from the grave, ascended to the Father, and he's writing it in retrospect. of the day of Pentecost. Verse 40. Many of the people there, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Well, you know, the prophet was spoken of by Moses in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18. And so they're simply saying, this is the one Moses was talking about. "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ, the anointed one." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" See, Galilee, of course, was an area where Nazareth was and whatever. And they're getting confused here. They said, but some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So some of the people were saying that the Christ was the Old Testament, they're saying, and David said in the Old Testament that he would come out of the city of David, which was Bethlehem, where David was born. And so they're confused here, but of course Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Nazareth and in the Galilean area. So there's no contradiction here at all. But they were confused about this, and it caused a division. Verse 43, "So there was a division among the people because of him." Well, let me say this. You know, Jesus said that he was not coming to bring peace on the earth, but rather to bring division. That's right. Now, Jesus came that we might either accept him or reject him. You've got to make a choice when it comes to Jesus. He divides people. Now, he will come one day as the Prince of Peace, but his first coming, he came to divide. And you must make a choice. Jesus said, "You're either for me or you're against me. You either gather or you scatter." And Christ will divide families. He even spoke about that. So here you have a division among the people. Some say, yes, he is the Christ. Some say, well, he can't be. Christ wouldn't come out of Galilee. Well, he did, but he was born in Bethlehem. And some of them, verse 44, would have taken him, but no man, now watch this, but no man laid hands on him. Now, once again, we see God's divine protection here on Jesus. But no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priest and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never a man spake like this man." So they had sent the officers to bring Jesus to them so they could accuse him and put him to death and whatever. But the Bible says no man laid hands on him. God divinely protected him. So the officers, when they come back, the scribes and Pharisees and the priests, they want to know, how come you didn't bring him with you? And they say, well, we've never heard a man speak like this. Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived?" So the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests say to the officers, they say, has he deceived you guys too? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Question mark. In other words, nobody of real significance has believed on him. The rulers haven't. The Pharisees, they haven't believed on him. So he can't be the Christ. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Now, who are they referring to? They're referring to the common people. They're saying, okay, some of the common people, they accept Jesus, but they're cursed. They're just dumb peasant people that don't know any better. But the educated, the religious elite, we know that he's not the Christ. Verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, "Doth our law judge any man before it heareth it hear him?" and know what he doeth? So, excuse me. Nicodemus, which Jesus talked to in John chapter 3, speaks up. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin court, a very well-respected man, and he makes the statement, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Nicodemus was pleading with them not to jump to conclusions, but give Jesus a chance to defend himself. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? So you can see the Jewish leaders turned on Nicodemus, though he was one of them. And they said, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. They thought they were so smart. And so the Sanhedrin here, they're scorning Nicodemus and insulting him. And they're saying nobody of any significance comes out of the Galilee area. Well, they are wrong about that. Because when they say, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet, well, how about Jonah? How about Hosea? How about Nahum? Possibly Elijah and Elisha and Amos. They were all from the region of Galilee. Either they didn't know their Bible or their geography, I don't know, but these religious leaders, they claimed to know all about the Bible, but they were either ignorant of the truth or they had some other motives in saying what they said. And then verse 53. It's an interesting verse. It says, every man went into his own house. It's kind of a strange way to end the chapter here, but the implication is that the people were under conviction of their sin. And they were convicted by the power of the word of God that Jesus had spoken. And so rather than talk about it anymore, everybody just left. Everybody went home. Well, this story's not over. And they will have to confront Jesus again and again before they finally falsely accuse him and crucify him. All right, we'll stop there, and we will be looking at John chapter 8 in our next session. And that's a dynamite chapter 8, because we're going to see Jesus say some things that's really going to make the Pharisees extremely angry. But he's going to say them anyway, because they're true. And we'll look at that in John chapter 8.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.